Knowledge of things spiritual on logo comes for each person from one's own direct experience of the universal laws of the divine center, which the soul recognizes. After this, it is important to follow these spiritual cosmic laws. People on logo know that thoughts or actions which go against these universal spiritual laws later returns negatively to the individual. For that reason, everybody on logo begins their day with spiritual exercises and silent meditation. The soul, joining with the divine center of the universe in quiet, leads to one's own spiritual knowledge of cosmic consciousness. Maybe on the planet Earth people still need to follow some teachings, before later maturing to a universal consciousness, Avu finished his commentary. I would be glad, John said, if you could tell me more about this cosmic consciousness, or spiritual teaching. I know that you know the basis of thinking and religion on the planet Earth, so I would like to know if there are principal differences in the understanding and progress in spiritual teachings or consciousness on the planet Earth and on logo. The differences in the understanding of God, Avu began to explain, between these two planets exist. Although some spiritual masters on the planet Earth have achieved universal spiritual consciousness, on the planet Earth, we talk about religious teachings, which consist of elements of universal spirituality. They also have certain limitations, which people themselves give to religion. This means that God was created from human notions on the planet Earth, and so was given attributes sometimes ascribed to humans, which, in fact, limits the genuine universal God. On logo we turn directly towards this universal aspect of the Godhead, or the divine center of the universe. Consequently, we talk about one's own spiritual experience of the vibrations of the universal divine center, which is and stays unchanged for all of time. We do not learn religion on logo, but our soul itself experiences it. One's own spiritual experience is anchored in the knowledge of the universal laws. It is this principle on which the principles for reaching a cosmic or unlimited consciousness is built. John listened attentively to Avu's words because he now felt he was receiving knowledge of an utterly different understanding of religion, or rather spirituality, than that which he knew from the planet Earth. It was quite a different approach, which explained the understanding and spiritual level of the people on the planet Logo. John also realized that religion is about development and has many levels, which are necessary to experience the principles of cosmic consciousness, Avu continued, are valid throughout the universe. It is understood that there is only one God, or better said, one divine center of the universe from which all the spiritual laws come forth and which each soul, and not the intellect, must recognize for herself. As you know, the intellect has its limitations. Realization of these principles brings the dissolution of the ego, in whose place comes the universal consciousness of spiritual wisdom, respect, and love. With this comes an understanding of the universal spiritual laws. The end of the long development of the soul comes at the point when the soul comes to the understanding that the divine center of the universe presides over all forms and is the origin of all forms. Fusion with it means to be part of the absolute universal unity, which you call God. At this moment, the soul's light is integrated with the light of the divine center of the universe. When Avu finished his account of the spiritual outlook on the planet Logo, John realized that such spiritual understanding needed neither words nor teachings nor theological attributes. This approach was really about the unity of two lights, which are of the same substance. John realized that it was, in fact, the universal spiritual coalescence of the drops of spiritual substance of the soul in the ocean of the Godhead. In this dissolution, all differences, all attributes crumble, and what is left is the pure consciousness of the universal unity of all creation, the oneness of the whole cosmos, issuing from one point, the divine center of the universe. Avu nodded to John and the two continued on the path towards the temple, to which many other people of various ages had already been directed. On the way, John smelled the same scent diffused all around him, and saw large mineral stones, which were placed around the path and the temple of wisdom. The closer they came to the temple, the clearer John could see the blending of colors. White walls and the color scheme contrasted with the pale blue cupolas with their gilt-pointed spires and golden pyramid on top of the temple. They ascended the wide steps leading to the large pale blue doors with gold symbols. Avu notified John that he would try to explain some things to him. This was exceptional because no communication of any kind was to be used inside the temple, including telepathic. When Avu and John walked through the large doors, they entered a hall where many people stood quietly. Around the walls there were elongated marble planters filled with flowers beds. On the walls, large mineral stones had been placed. A number of large crystals were hanging from the ceiling, shaped like pyramids, the points of the spires below. It was totally silent, which intensified the spiritual vibrations of this place. Avu explained briefly to John that there was an atmosphere present in this temple anteroom to help people with the purification from physical vibrations to focus on the spiritual and on inner peace, so that they could be receptive to the spiritual energy in the temple. After a while they moved into the main temple hall. The longer they stood in the temple hall, the more John recognized the beneficial influence of this environment, which elevated him spiritually, until he felt a great energy. His soul was somehow lifted to a state of higher perception and understanding. He was also inundated with vibrations of love and respect. After some time, they moved into the large temple hall, which was high and wide. Its walls were a glittering white and the day's light made its way here through the long large windows placed in the lower sections of the walls. There stood a golden pyramid-shaped column, along whose sides white crystals were hanging. There were white chairs with straight backs placed in long rows, at the end of which was a pyramid-shaped crystal. Utter silence resounded through the temple. Later started a sound of high tones, whose vibrations filled John with feelings of harmony and incredible spiritual openness. Except for these tones of music, total silence ruled in the temple and those who were sitting in the chairs were completely concentrated and looking in the direction of the golden pyramid's points at the end of the temple. From this center a gentle light was shining, which spread throughout the whole area. John was reminded of the center of energy, where the same stream of light led him to a deep spiritual experience. The whole atmosphere of the temple vibrated with harmony and peace. Avu and John sat next to one another, in the white chairs, and concentrated on the stream of light coming from the points of the golden pyramid. Long tones of music began to change in harmonic chords, which were played in several octaves at once and sounded for a long time. One chord blended into another and this music created an atmosphere of harmony and unison, which John felt aided the soul in elevating herself. The music played a while longer, and John also realized that a scent had begun to disperse throughout the temple, affecting everything in a very uplifting way. The people sat in a silent space and followed the stream of light, which spread throughout the temple. The music slowly began to weaken, but at the same time, it never really stopped. After a short while, three spiritual masters came, a man and two women. They were dressed in pure white vesture and sat on a white chairs, directly below the golden points of the pyramid. It was clear to see on the faces of these three spiritual masters their silent concentration. In a while, the spiritual master stood and slowly lifted his hands, which emitted a strong vibrating radiance. This radiance somehow made it easier for each individual to receive the spiritual energies and to open themselves spiritually. After emitting these vibrations, the master lowered his hands and began to speak telepathically to those present. His words were in rather short sentences in which he communicated the spiritual laws of the universe. He communicated wisdom, which streamed to them through his connection with the divine center. After this telepathic speech, the spiritual master again lifted his arms and one could feel the vibrations, which were delivered through his hands. The whole temple was powerfully filled with spiritual vibrations, which were intensified by the pyramid-shaped ceiling. The atmosphere remained augmented by the music and gentle scent. John sat quite immersed in the inner silence and felt his soul somehow rising to a higher sphere, wanting to join with the light, which shone throughout the whole temple and was a symbol of the light of God. The vibrations emitted by the three spiritual masters permeated the entire temple, John felt the incredible light, yet strongly elevated power of the atmosphere. His spirit was freed and entered his sphere of spiritual common knowledge, and he rested in this state for some time. The entire temple somehow became one powerful spiritual vibration. It was the ultimate experience of the conscious existence of the divine center, which filled the souls of all present. After some time, all three spiritual masters sat, and John began to hear the gentle music with its increased volume and gently supporting vibrations, which had been created by the spiritual masters. The people continued to sit quietly in their places. After some time, the masters rose and slowly left. Those present began to stand as well, leaving in silence. Before Evu and John left, they stopped in the chapel with a round cupola where some people continued to meditate. Evu and John left the temple and descended the steps into the park. Evu informed John that he had arranged a meeting with the spiritual masters who would be waiting for them behind the temple. When they set off in that direction, John asked Evu what the conditions were to become a spiritual master. "As you know," Evu answered, "every occupation here is a mission. A person is called to be a spiritual master if he or she devotes him or herself to spiritual activities, or reaches a high spiritual level. Only a person who is concerned with things spiritual has the ability to be an agent of the vibrations of the divine center. Not everyone is able to elevate the spiritual consciousness of others, such as you experienced during today's service in the temple. The spiritual master is not here to promote the intellectual side of people. His task rather is to facilitate higher spiritual vibrations for others to be able to live through the spiritual experience. After receiving these spiritual vibrations, people are lifted to higher states of consciousness. It is, in fact, the basis of our worship services, whereby the consciousness of all present is elevated during the service, and they can then take these experiences back to their own personal spiritual exercises and meditation. The spiritual master is called for life and should be able to unite with the divine center and to pass on the vibrations of the pure Godhead to others." At that moment, spiritual masters Ramu, Anna, and Aura were coming towards them, and Evu went to meet them halfway. Everyone bowed to one another, and it was clear that Evu was welcome here. Evu indicated John, introduced him, and the three clearly accepted him with kindness. Ramu, whose age John guessed to be around 70 or 80 years, motioned to them and they all turned towards the park behind the temple, where they went down a short tree-lined lane to a garden full of blooming bushes and flowers. Ramu led them to a small arbor, where there was a seat for each and where they sat comfortably. John thanked them for the opportunity to be a part of a daily worship service designed to allow those present to have spiritual experiences. "Yes," Ramu answered. "That is the foundation of our teachings. The spiritual experience is actually the most important for understanding the universal Godhead. However, sometimes it happens that during the worship service, angelic beings come from a higher sphere and convey high knowledge to us, or they let us have a peek at the angelic world, which is on a higher spiritual level than we are. The reason for this is that on such a higher level the physical has already changed over into the spiritual. And this is where the most mature souls from Loga will go after death. These beings appear to us in their radiant auras, and their spiritual vibrations fill the whole temple. The wisdom of the divine center is contained in these vibrations, as well as everlasting love, which changes itself into a great joy, experienced by all those present. Such an experience is a great reassurance of one's own spiritual path and leads to the improved understanding of the existence of the divine center of the universe. The angelic beings are able to take on a physical form, which is, however, in comparison to ours, very light and full of vibrations of universal love. These heavenly beings may also appear outside the temple during large spiritual ceremonies or festivals, helping us all to be uplifted. The spiritual planetary festivals on Logo are very important because they encourage the raising and intensifying of the spiritual vibrations on the whole planet, helping all people to ascend spiritually to higher levels of consciousness, and on to rapid spiritual development. John listened to Ramu with great interest and realized that different variations of levels of life might exist in the deepness of space of the universe, Avu noticed his interest and the flow of his thoughts and grasped how great the changes going on in John's thoughts were, as well as in his consciousness. John was somehow urged on by a particular longing to learn as much as he could from his visit to the planet Logo, and he requested that the spiritual masters explain more precisely how people on Logo come to the ends of their lives, and also something more about reincarnation. Adding to the conversation was Anu, who as a spiritual master directed the spiritual development of planet Logo. Anu began her answer to John's question like this: "The majority of people on Logo die when they come to the end of their life energy. Only a few die from reasons of illness or accident, which is seen as a fall in their karma. People are educated as to how life after death looks, that is, the passage to the astral world, where they can gain new knowledge and spiritual growth. The departure of the deceased is a spiritual experience on Logo, and in the temple a certain amount of time is devoted to the extending of positive vibrations to the soul of the dead in order to spiritually reinforce them on their journey to the afterworld. Consequently, death is understood as the arrival of transformed energy from matter to spiritual. Life continues then on a different level of being. In the astral world, the soul unites with higher beings, and may learn from them, advancing one's spiritual development and state of consciousness forward in great steps. Spiritual development goes forward rapidly in the astral world. There is also a great possibility of acquiring knowledge and time for uninterrupted contemplation. For that reason, it is very important for the soul, during its physical life, to prepare itself spiritually. Those who are, however, too connected to the physical world and whose thoughts take matter and material things for the only reality, are without much interest in the spiritual. They have to learn to reach balanced harmony between the spiritual and intellectual knowledge." And if finished with these words, which were a very important explanation for John. "Does that mean," John continued his questioning, "that the most important thing in the development of the soul is the union of the consciousness with the divine center of the universe?" "Now, Oro," answered his question, "you are quite right." Oro said, "It is a spiritual law determining that the light of every soul sent forth, in order to experience life in a physical body, eventually becomes consciously part of the divine light once again, from which it came forth. Such a path of light is sent forth into space to the conscious providence, and returns again from whence it came. During its journey, the light is enveloped by a wrapping of matter and influenced, or sometimes even obscured, by the intellect and the ego. Only when harmonic composure comes between intellect and intuition, can one be helped to reach higher stages of development and knowledge. However, it is up to every individual's light to surpass the veil of material deception, and reach the conscious basis of one's existence, which comes from the spiritual form of the divine center of the universe. Can it be said, then," John observed, "that the ethical and moral thinking of the inhabitants of the planet Logo come from this spiritual understanding and consciousness?" Hiromu answered now, saying, "You are quite right. Our ethical and moral teachings are built on spiritual principles and laws because the very substance of space is spiritual, and if we want to live in harmony, then it is necessary to follow the universal laws, which are reflected in all of life. As long as any given civilization is not established in the ethical and spiritual laws, its development will take a very long time. In the correct approach, respect is projected to all life forms, and the understanding that all forms, at whatever level they may be, have to walk their path of development. It is necessary to understand that the purer, more harmonious, sensitive and ethical the thoughts of the inhabitants of a planet are, the more positive vibrations will be able to help in the development of all the life forms of everlasting nature, which will lead to a feeling of planetary harmony. It follows from this that the basic motivation of the deeds of planet Logo inhabitants is service to others and to the whole civilization. All on Logo have respect for everyone else and for everything. It is this principle of consciousness of planetary membership and planetary citizenship, as well as respect for everything, which makes up our civilization. Its constant modification ensures that it becomes wiser and more harmonious. Hopefully, This brief explanation of our teachings and ethical understanding will help you. When Urumu finished his answer to John's question, it was clear to John that every civilization needs its own development to be able to mature to a state of universal consciousness, such as On Logo, or to an eventual higher consciousness. Avu interrupted John's contemplation, proposing to show John a place called the Park of Spiritual Teachings in which can be found much of the spiritual knowledge of the planet Logo. The others agreed with Avu's suggestion, and all went together to the place where the Park of Spiritual Teachings was located. In order to get there as quickly as possible, it was necessary to cover a certain distance, so they agreed to use levitation. They lifted themselves and flew through the air, letting the green countryside pass below them. After some time flying, they landed on a large open space, which was surrounded by tall trees. Avu explained to John that the place was formed as a certain order of park, one in which it was possible for one to use the park as a large natural picture. There also existed parks of history, science, music, universe, healing, nature, and other. Now we are in the Park of Spiritual Teachings, which we will go through together, Avu explained. Urumu added to the conversation and communicated that some symbols would be very familiar to those John knew from the planet Earth and might be a part of some earthly religions. The mystical journey, Ramu explained, is the spiritual basis of all religions because the spiritual experience, at whatever level, comes forth in the same way to all true mystics from the divine center. So, the path of spiritual experience is, in truth, universal. Anu now entered the conversation. In the Park of Spiritual Teachings you will find various teachings whose symbols and paths you will see. Some of them you will surely already know. They will be very similar to spiritual teachings on the planet Earth. The first section begins with cosmic consciousness, which is the basic spiritual knowledge on Logo, and which teaches about the directly recognized vibrations from the divine center of the universe. So, let us go to the first part of the Park of Spiritual Teachings, to the Park of Cosmic Consciousness. And it pointed to the white path leading to a large natural gate, formed from flowers and shrubs. Only when they had entered the gate did the wonderful symbol of this cosmic consciousness appear. There was a full white circle, from which spiraling circles sprang, the spirals beginning with a dark color gradually changing to different colors and finally becoming yellow. In its yellow and ultimate point the spiral flipped over and returned to the center, in the end blending with a white circular center. Avu stepped towards John with an explanation. This is the spiral of basic universal evolution. Its first part arises from the white center of the Godhead, but the energy must first go through a long period of development, first in a material form, then a mineral form, to elements of nature, creatures, and finally to beings which have spiritual centers in their bodies. This part is denoted in blue and purple. The yellow part signifies a period of time when a person has already consciously entered the spiritual path of development, which also lasts a certain length of time. The inside of the white spire means a conscious knowledge and experience of the divine center of the universe, and a conscious return to the center. The spiral ends with the concluding union of the white spiral with the full white circle of the divine center, as the spiritual journey returns back to the Godhead. It was clear to John, after Avu finished speaking, how important it was to delineate the spiritual journey in symbols and signs. As they continued, they saw seeds placed in semicircles around the large stately trees, whose leaves shimmered with energy. Ro explained to John that the interiors of the trees, around whose trunk round white stones had been sprinkled, symbolized the divine center of the universe, from whom all of space grew, here symbolized by the trees. When they continued further on the path, a large statue of a person from Logo appeared before them. Its eyes were fixed on the stream of light radiating in front of it from a large white stone circle. Urumu explained that the circle is again a symbol of the divine center of the universe, from which the universal light of the Godhead comes. Human beings concentrate on the light in order to come to spiritual knowledge and inner unity with the light. It is also a symbol of silence, which is necessary for deep spiritual experiences. This symbol of light is found in all temples and spiritual centers. John appreciated the universal light and its symbolic meaning of the spiritual, as well as of silence. There were more symbols and pictures here, but Hafa led John to the next section, where there was again a gate formed of shrubs. Urumu communicated to John at this point that they were entering the section of the teaching of, or the religion of, silence. This part was formed solely of shrubs full of colorful blossoms and flowers growing everywhere. John noticed an intoxicating scent, which emanated all around. Oro perceived his thoughts and explained that the scent actually played an important role in the teaching of silence because the scent leads to the elevation of the consciousness to higher levels. When they came to a small lake, John perceived that rays of white light were shooting out from the water. Oro explained that there were two symbols here. Motionless water meant the still silence of the mind. The rays of light radiating from it symbolized spiritual light, which the mind should constantly emit, in order to act wisely and in harmony with the laws of the universe. Oro led them to the next symbol of silence, where a circle was circumscribed at the entrance to the peacefully elevated path. The interior of the circle was sprinkled with something, which reminded John of crystals. The whole of the circle shone in its whiteness and its purity, and from the bird's eye view of the path, it was a great experience. This is another symbol of silence. Hence the divine center itself, Oro remarked. The longer you look at this, the more you will become a part of it. John had to take her at her word and was just sorry that they did not have enough time to be able to concentrate more on this white shining symbol. Avu now led the group to the third gate, which led to the section of the teaching, or religion of, music. Music is universally incorporated in the universe, and it began to explain. Music is actually configured from mathematics, and from this the sounds of tones are derived. The teaching of the religion of music has several levels, which everyone in this teaching must pass through. The first level is listening to music. While she spoke, Avu walked over to a large flower bed, in which there were many types of flowers, each differing in color, and in scent. From each flower there was a narrow line sprinkled on the ground, and the color of these sprinkled lines was the same as the color of the flower from which it began. All these multicolored lines or threads came together in a single white point, which was in the center of the long flower bed, but which was removed a bit from it. An emotion for John to stand in the white circle and to see that each flower presented its own color and the scent of one tone, which divided itself into half tones and quarter tones, represented only by the sprinkled threads of the combined colors into the tone from which they came. Now imagine that you are not a listener but a composer, composing music which will express the vibrations of the divine center. The combination of colors could be the most harmonious, and the scent of the flowers the most gentle and inspiring. The more beautiful, harmonious and simple the melody, the more easily the listener approaches the divine center. The vibrations of music should help the soul be elevated to the divine center. And it led John to a small room in which the scents of all the types of flowers were diffused. There were fascinating pictures on the walls illustrating all of the colors of flowers introduced by the musical tones. John realized that he had never seen anything so harmonic and colorful. He felt the vibrations of these colors in himself, elevating his soul. John suddenly realized that it was not about listening to music with one's hearing, but about the internal perception of the music of the soul, which was an experience much deeper and longer lasting. And attempted to complete John's understanding with these words, as you have recognized for yourself. At first the soul of the disciple learns that the teaching of music begins with the vibration of one tone, then the melody of one instrument, then the second, third, and other instruments. Finally, the vibrations of the melodies of all instruments are heard from within, as if in the soul of the disciple. The stately beauty and simple harmony help the disciple to make the harmonies of the beauty of all tones in his or her soul, celebrating the existence of the divine center. John began to imagine the richness of this experience, but also the deep devotion of the disciple who walked the spiritual path of music to his or her realization. Something which surprised John greatly came when Anna led them to a waterfall, which fell from a great height to the lake below them. This is the final peak, or the realization of the path of spiritual teaching, Anna explained. Here, all tones fuse into one, that is, the tone of the archetype from which all tones are issued and of which all tones are variations. In the single tone, of the waterfall, sounds the whole symphony of the universe, containing the tones of all creation in which the vibrations of the divine center can be heard.